It's nice to be with you, and it's really good to have this privilege this morning. It's going to be a bit different in the next half hour. I hope you like a change, but it is going to be quite different. And if anybody says afterwards, well, that wasn't much of a sermon, was it? You can just remind them that I've said it's not a sermon this morning at all. Not a sermon at all. Can you turn that off for a minute, Steve? Don't want on yet. Thank you. I think we'll start with a Bible reading now. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Matthew 5, and I'm reading from the Message. We're going to read it together, verses 11 to 16, just five verses. Let them just be digested. I went through the different versions, and because we know this passage so well, many of us, I thought it would be good, really, to have something a bit different. So let's read from verse 11 to verse 16. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a lightstand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a lightstand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, that gracious Father in heaven. And God is good. Amen. Amen. Now, hope you haven't got too comfortable. If you don't, listen to me, because you've got to do something now. If you don't live in Iceland, would you like to just stand up, please? If you don't live in Iceland. Just look round. These folk didn't have a choice but to come by transport this morning. If you live in Iceland, you had a choice. You either walked or still use transport. But these folk didn't have any choice. They had to use transport. I think we should give them a clap, really. Sometimes when I'm driving out and I pass some of these far-flung places and I think, goodness, these folk do this every Sunday. Would you like to sit down again? Thank you very much. Just a little bit of history that will illustrate what I want to do this morning. And that is that when Tom and I came here in 1965, we came to a very traditional Baptist church with a membership of 60. And for 7 years, we lived with and served in a very traditional Baptist church. And as far as Baptist churches went in Cambridgeshire, it was a good Baptist church, really good. It had plenty of people, apparently, with 60 membership compared to others. And we did all the right things and we ticked the boxes and it was a good church. And then after we'd been here 7 years, we were baptised in the Holy Spirit. And within a couple of years, things began to change radically. People started to come from all over the place. And do you know why? Because with the baptism of the Spirit, thank you, Steve, a fire was lit. And the fire blazed beautifully. So much so that people wanted to come and be warmed by the fire of the Spirit that was here. And we got accused at times of sheep stealing, of drawing people from other churches. And Tom's response to that would have been, we just grow green grass. And sheep tend to come where there's green grass. and people came from all over the place. Our father's people, couple came regularly from Colchester. They worked in London. They break their journey back from London on their way home to Colchester to come to midweek meetings here every week. And they spend all day Sunday here at the morning and evening service, and then they do their job in London during the week. Somebody else, an American teacher, came for just a visit with some American friends. And in that 3 weeks she was here, God baptized her in the Holy Spirit and miraculously healed her, and she wanted to come back. So she went home and asked if she could have a transfer for a year somewhere near Newmarket so she could worship with us. And they gave her a teaching post at Worksop, not quite near Newmarket. But she lived at Worksop and taught in a school at Worksop. But she drove down for midweek meetings from Worksop after school and drove again back afterwards to be ready for school the next day. And she spent every weekend here. Such was the desire to be where the fire was burning. That went on for years. And actually that fire has never dimmed out in any way. It goes on burning. And 20 years ago, Paul became lead elder here, and the fire burns. And the fire is a city set on a hill that cannot be hit. And I'm interested, really, and thrilled that the Ark is set on the highest place, the highest building ground in Iceland. It was ground that was given us. And it was given us, the folk who gave us didn't realise that it would have such significance to be the house set on the hill. But it is. And it will be seen and can be seen from far and wide. And we are the people of God here. But you know, it's not actually about Sunday mornings, which are wonderful. I went home last Sunday morning and I thought, oh, it was so good. I went home the Sunday morning before and I thought, it was so good. And don't you go home often and say, it's so good. It is good. It's wonderful to be together. It's wonderful to worship with a crowd of animated, enthusiastic people who love Jesus. It is wonderful. But we have an area. You saw how many people don't live in Iceland, which means probably a minority of this congregation do. And Iceland's important, it matters terribly. But it's not just Iceland, it's the whole area. And I've got a visual aid for you this morning so that you will remember this message forever. Well, it's not a message, this chat forever. And I'm going to ask my visual aid to come into the pulpit with me. Come on. She's having to do as she's told. And this is Stephanie, and I've asked her to come up here. She doesn't want to. But I've asked her to come up here because some of you won't know Stephanie. And if she looks beautiful, and she does every Sunday, that's because she works at the Heart Foundation charity in Newmarket and gets first pick of the clothes. She said I could say it. She's there once a week serving there as a volunteer. So that's lovely, isn't it? And we get the benefit of the beauty. Anyway, I should embarrass her now. But you know, the lovely thing is that Stephanie came here in 1982. And she came because a young man called Steve Goddard happened to be in her office one day on the base. And he talked about the wonder of Jesus. And then because she asked questions, he gave her a map to get to the church and she came. And she got saved, gloriously born again. And she's our shortest ever time between being born again and baptised, because she was baptised 3 days after she was born again. She was a divorcee with 3 children in the States with her ex-husband. She was here on her own. And she glowed with the goodness of God and the grace of God. And we were privileged to see the unfolding of something that was truly miraculous, because it wasn't very long before Stephanie upped and off to Oxford to work with Open Doors, which is a charity organisation serving the persecuted church in the world. And then she sold everything she got, literally everything down to the last farce, and went off with YWAM to serve in different parts of the world. And I always looked at her a bit open-mouthed, really, thinking, wow, however can you do that? Get rid of everything and just go. But she did. Thank you, Stephanie. Get down there. I just want you to know who I'm talking about. Now, you're clapping. I need to make it really clear that Stephanie's biggest concern this morning is that anybody would think she's boasting. And what I share with you isn't boast. And she would say that clapping is for God. All the glory goes to him. And we're supposed to boast of what the Lord has done. And I'm going to share some of the things the Lord has done through a life surrendered to him. And the wonderful thing is, the word also says that we're to rejoice with those who rejoice. And it's been my privilege to rejoice with Stephanie over some of the ways the Lord's blessed and led her in recent years. And I've counted that a real privilege, but it means I know the stuff. And some of you know you can't trust me with stuff. I tend to want to share it. So not confidences, but things that are good news I want to pass on. And so I'm going to spend a little while passing on some good news. And then I'm going to apply it. And I'm praying that in this sort of different sort of morning, there will be those things that pierce your heart by the power of the Spirit and register with you as a word to you from the Lord today. Because that's what matters, that we don't just come to church, but we've had an encounter with God and our lives have changed from one degree of glory to another. Paul shared at Springboard prayer meeting this morning that however well we know him, we want to know him more. However much he's given us, we want him to give us more. We have to stay satisfied and hungry at the same time, don't we? Stephanie came back to this country because her parents were older and she felt a responsibility towards them. And I'm not going to fill in all the gaps, there isn't time. But 5 years ago, she was looking for somewhere to live, desperately to rent. And looking at the area, there was absolutely nothing, except in the one place where she definitely didn't want to go. And she was adamant about that. She didn't want to go to Red Lodge. And guess where the only place was that was available? Red Lodge, you're absolutely right, top marks. I looked it up, and it's interesting that it's still, even now, referred to as a ghost town. I'm looking from the glass. There, sorry. It's funny it's called a ghost town, because actually its population is 3,834. There's 3,834 people living in Red Lodge right now. But it's a town that's, it was a village really, but it's out in Styx really. It doesn't seem to belong anywhere, it's just there. And Stephanie moved there knowing that God had called her to, that she hadn't got any choice, and when God squeezes you into his will, it's best to embrace it and begin to be happy about it. That's why we should praise him for everything, because he always knows what he's doing, doesn't he? And when she went there, she felt in that dead place, and it was a dead place, with very little interrelationship at all going on. People didn't even really talk to each other much. There was nowhere to talk. And she decided in that place that she was going to, she laughed when I said this to her on the phone yesterday, she was going to walk the streets. And she said, you can't say that, Audrey. What does that sound like? I mean, walk the streets in the best sense of the word. And first 2 weeks, she prayer walked the streets of Red Lodge. And then she decided that twice a day, she was going to just walk and see what God did. And she asked him each time that he would open doors of opportunity for the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to be shared. She did that 6 days a week, every week. And then she dropped to one walk a day, 6 days every week. It was amazing because God brought opportunities and contacts incredibly. Things she wouldn't have looked for at all. There was the building site that she passed. And when she heard somebody calling, she thought it was one of the builders on the scaffolding. So she ignored him, of course, as she would. And then she realised it wasn't him calling her. It was somebody way back behind her, a lady. The lady ran after her and said, I've seen you go past. I just want to know if I could talk to you. She told her how she and her husband had just moved to Red Lodge because she'd lost her only son a year before and she couldn't bear to go on living in the house she'd been living in. What an opportunity to share the love of Jesus, and it's taken. She helped a lady off a bus with two little children, walked them home. And that lady kept coming back and coming back and coming back for more and more contact and more opportunities to help her and to talk with her. A hermit lives across the road who doesn't communicate with anyone, and his bungalow is absolutely covered in ivy and stuff. But he's had little cakes left on his doorstep, and he's opened the door to her. There was a lady who ran down up a garden path, and just as she ran down the path, she seemed out of breath, and Stephanie purposed that whenever she's out, she greets everybody she meets, everybody. And ever so many of them stop and talk. And this lady just happened to be visiting. But as she shared her story, there was opportunity to talk of the love of Jesus. And then she happened to live next door to Guy and Marty, next door neighbours. Stand up, you two. Let's see who you are. Is Guy not here? Not here today. Why? Bless him. These two sit in the back there every Sunday. They've been here for 2.5 years. And I think they've been blessed, haven't you, by being here? I know you have. And they happen to be Stephanie's next door neighbours. And they're here. There's a lady over the road who's had some of you medical people tell me what it's called, a tracheotomy, is that the right word? A tracheotomy for 8.5 years. And since Stephanie's got to know her, she's prayed for her constantly. And this lady knows that. And 3 weeks ago, she phoned Stephanie and she said, I've just been back to the hospital and they've told me that I don't need it anymore. Thank you so much for praying. That's good news. She got involved with a lady who needed prayer, prayed with her in her car, and in her house, and as they prayed, and Stephanie explained that she would be praying, obviously, through Jesus and who Jesus was, the lady said, well, my husband and I are both Muslims, so we don't do that. But she comes back time and time again, and makes contact time and time again for Stephanie to pray with her through Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? There's the receptionist at the Millennium Centre at Red Lodge, who just suddenly, Stephanie only went in to ask a question, and suddenly opens a conversation and tells her about her background, her history, and her own beliefs, which are nil, really. And then goes on to tell little bits that allow you to pick up and to unfold the wonder of Jesus. And that's what happens. There's the man at the bus stop who's waiting for a bus, and it's pouring with rain. And in conversation, because you just say hello as you pass, if you're going to greet everybody, he says he's actually going to visit his wife who's in a care home. He has to get 2 buses from where he lives to get to her, and he's got a brain tumour. So that gives Stephanie an opportunity to offer him a lift, to give him her phone number, and to tell him to let her know whenever he needs a lift. That's life. That's living. That's being what Jesus wants us to be. That's the city set on a hill. And it's all come about just from walking streets. Not by trying to stand on street corners and preach. Not trying to be clever in any way. Stephanie would be the first to say she's a very ordinary person. She would say she hasn't got a lot of knowledge to share. But she does know Jesus. And she does know what he's done in her life. And that actually is enough. She doesn't know I'm going to say this. She says she's no one special. But a few weeks ago, she was in Scottsdale's Garden Centre over at Fordham. And you're not to look at her because you're an embarrasser. She's over at Scottsdale's. And a young man that she hasn't had any spiritual conversation with at all comes up to her. And she says, hello, how are you? He said, not very good. So she said, I'm sorry. He said, you can pray for me if you like. So she said, why do you say that to me? He said, because I think you pray. Is that the light shining when you're not saying anything? And so I could go on. Now, 3 years ago, Michael and Janice, it might be a bit more than that, but Michael and Janice G, Delia and Louis' son and his wife and family, were really called of God to go to the little church in Red Lodge. They lived in Red Lodge anyway. And they have become a part of that little church and amazingly been able to serve that church by leading worship, doing all sorts of preaching, doing all sorts of things. Stephanie and Michael and Janice have prayed together for Red Lodge ever since they moved in. And they've prayed together for all the issues in Red Lodge, all the areas that could be affected in that place with 3,800 people living. And called to the church has come a spirit-filled Korean pastor, a lovely man. And then they decide that they're going to have a prayer meeting. Janice knew this from God, and she wanted to open the church every morning from 7:30 to 8:30, 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, for prayer. So every morning from 7:30 to 8:30, in that little church tucked away in Red Lodge, folk meet for prayer. And there's a core group that's always there, and there are others who come and go. There's one lady who comes regularly, who's a visitor. Sorry, I wasn't going to say regular, who comes, who is a vicar of another parish, and she joins them. Somebody who comes regularly is a county councillor who lives in Newmarket, but has decided to come to that prayer meeting from 7:30 to 8:30 in the week. Ivan went there and gave his testimony, Ivan Cox. And as a result of that, one of the men in that fellowship had an incredible encounter with God, all on his own. He was in the church on his own, and God impacted him without any shadow of doubt. He only discovered afterwards that actually he'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he received the gifts of the Spirit, and he knew the Holy Spirit was real in his life. Isn't it wonderful? I expect you to be so excited, because I get so excited when I hear this stuff, because our God is alive.
Amen.
He's on the move. He lives in me. Does he live in you?
Yes.
You should all be saying yes. Does he live in you?
Yes.
If you're born again, he lives in you. He needs a body to work in. He hasn't got a body. The Holy Spirit hasn't got a body. He needs a body. He needs me and he needs you to do his work. Soon they're going to be having a lay worker that has been appointed to come and work in Red Lodge. They're praying their hearts out that it will be a spirit-filled lay worker. They don't know who it is yet, but they're believing for God to move. What they do know is they've got a new head teacher at the school in September, and guess what? He's the son of missionary parents and he's a Christian. Isn't that good news? God is on the move, not just in Red Lodge. He's certainly on the move here, and he's on the move where you come from if you're being the people, the person he wants you to be. You know, they do a magazine. It's not a Christian magazine. It's just a magazine that's handed out to every home in Red Lodge. And they post 2,350 of these magazines in the doors of Red Lodge every month. And there's a section in that magazine that can be used for churchy sort of things. And guess who's been asked to handle that? Stephanie. She doesn't do it always herself. She asks other people to do it. But it's an opportunity for the truth of God's word to go into every home in that place. And then, again, she doesn't know I'm going to say this, I was very excited to know that she'd got a job cleaning the little chapel once a week. I was very thrilled because I knew the extra pennies would be badly needed, really. And I said, oh, that's nice. That'll give you a bit of extra money. And she said, no, it's not a paid job. It's voluntary. She didn't say it's voluntary, but it is. And so she's doing that once a week, just to bless those people. Don't you think she deserves the blessing of God? Don't you think, do we all deserve, do any of us deserve the blessing of God? That's probably bad phraseology. But don't you think that the kingdom is blessed because she's living in Red Lodge? But listen, the kingdom is blessed in Red Lodge because Stephanie is a part of this fire. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the fire only burns here.
Please God, it will burn in everywhere. Milton Hall and Chippenham and Fordham and Red Lodge and Wickham and wherever. The fire needs to be burning everywhere. But when you come together on a Sunday and you sense the excitement of God the Holy Spirit and you recognise that he's at work in people's lives and through people's lives, shouldn't that make a difference to how we are? Doesn't it make a difference? Don't you go out with a lift in your step thinking God is good? Not just sing it, but think it and feel it. I do. But you see, we have a choice. Could you make that fire flicker again, Steve, for me? Is it Brian up there, not Steve? Could you make it flicker? It looks a bit dull like that. It's a light but dull, like some of us are light but dull. I speak for myself. Thank you. It'll come. Anyway, we need those flames leaping up, really, because that's the fire. But you see, within that fire are coals, burning coals. And you're a coal and I'm a coal. But you're either burning coal that's going to go back to your area where you live and be talking to God about what you can do to bless your community, to touch them with the life of God, to share the miracles that God's done in your life, or you're going to be a dead coal like this one that's just black. And you'll come to church and you'll enjoy the fire and then you'll go home and you're just black. And you won't set anyone or anything alike light if you're like that. And the thing is, the fire isn't burning in church. The fire needs to be burning in our hearts. We need to know that we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not, I think so, I might have been, but we need to know we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thank you. We need to know that the power of the Spirit works through us, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives within me and within you. We need to know it, and we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to radiate the beauty of Jesus and the love of Jesus to those around us. The disciples had to wait in Jerusalem for the power. They had to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come. But once they'd received the power of the Spirit, they went out. They had to go out into a whenever widening area of people to touch those lives with the message that God had given them. You see, the Holy Spirit was given that we would become witnesses, that we would be witnesses, not that we would just witness, that we would be witnesses. Our very lifestyle would be a witness. The Holy Spirit was given so that we would shine with the reality of Jesus. And if you're not sure you're shining, check back to your experience of the Holy Spirit. Check back, first of all, to the fact you're born again, of course. And I know you do that. But then check back to where the Holy Spirit has a place in your life. Not a place, but the place in your life. Where you stay wet in him all the time. You see, the disciples witnessed to what they had seen, it says in Acts. They bore witness to what they'd seen. And they'd seen the death of Jesus, and they'd seen the resurrection of Jesus, and they'd seen the Lord Jesus appear to them, and they'd seen the ascended Jesus. So they bore witness to the things they'd seen. I say it carefully, and some people might want to correct me. I don't think we're supposed to bear witness to all that. I think we're supposed to bear witness to what Jesus has done in our lives, to what we've seen. Which will involve Calvary, and it will involve the resurrection, and it will be a living Lord Jesus today. Of course it will. But it's through our lives it will be seen by the people. It's through our words they'll know. And please God, through our witness, many, many fires will be lit in people's hearts. I haven't got responsibility for your area. You have. I've got responsibility for my own life. And I have to say, as much as I'm saying all this, I'm very conscious that there are things I need to polish up and do better at. But what I do know is there is no life comparable to a life lived in the Spirit. Because he gives us the supernatural. He puts the lift in our step. He puts the light in our eyes. He puts the song in our heart, whatever the circumstances. Because that's what he came for. To reveal Jesus and to make us witnesses. And it says, to the ends of the earth. So be warned, you might be going anywhere with it. But praise God, that's his business, not mine. And to him be all the glory. Amen. Amen.